Welcome to LifeWorks, where we talk about life and work and making it work. I'm Hannah Greenstein, a From mompreneur on a mission just like yours, to live the mompreneur life that brings me feelings of balance and inner peace and joy. Here, I hold space for you in the many roles you play as a From mommy business owner. Join me for support, mindset, techniques, and tools around productivity, focus, and work-life balance so you can feel in balance and at peace. If you can find excitement and joy at work and at home, you will thrive in the roles you play and feel fulfilled by your life's work. And that's what I want for you. So let's get started. Hello, hello, friends, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm sure that you are knee-deep in your Pesach prep, whatever that looks like for you, and I hope that this episode keeps you some wonderful company in your cooking, cleaning, shopping, preparing, errand running, packing, whatever it might be that you are doing to prepare for Pesach. Before I dive into the episode, two quick things. First of all, if you are not signed up for my emails, you want to head to lifeworkspodcast.com and sign up to be receiving emails. There won't be very many emails coming in the next short while, but being on the email list means that you get an email every time an episode is released, so you don't miss that. You get notified about any events that I'm hosting, things that I'm partaking in, and offers that I have for you. And I occasionally send out some tips, advice, mindset shifts, hacks relating to work-life balance, productivity, time management, getting more done, feeling good while we get more done, and so much more. So definitely sign up to the email list. I also might have some things brewing that you don't want to miss. So lifeworkspodcast.com, pop in your email address, and you are done. I also want to ask you, if you know someone that might benefit from this episode or from LifeWorks podcast in general, to please, please share it with them. Help me spread the lessons, the guests' wisdom, and all of the wonderful advice and hacks that have been brought up on the LifeWorks podcast with people who need to hear this. If you do share the podcast with a friend, a colleague, a chat, please do let me know so I can thank you. And now, I'm so excited to be recording today's episode. I want to share with you some background. This episode has been brewing beneath the surface for a long, long time. Maybe a year, a really long time. It started, as most things do, with a kernel of an idea, a seed planted by some feedback I actually got from a listener. I had two listeners reach out at the very beginning of the podcast who wondered why Hashem wasn't talked about in a way that they felt like was enough on the podcast. And the thing was, it was intentional. I purposely, terrible as this sounds, but please stick with me, wasn't talking much about Hashem. Slowly, though, I started to change my mind as I thought about the idea of bringing up the conversation more. And still, it simmered in my mind, it sat on a Google Doc as an episode topic idea, and I didn't really take much action for a long time. It was just there. Let me share something with you. It's hard. It's hard for me to put myself out there. Sometimes I really just don't want to. I need some space or some privacy. And talking about my faith felt like putting myself out there. Sharing why I didn't do that at first, why I haven't been talking about Hashem and Bitachon on the podcast very much, and then sharing why I have now chosen to do it, it took time for me to get comfortable with the idea. And full disclosure is, I'm still not fully comfortable recording this episode, but I think it's the right thing. I think it's really important, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to share with you, and I'd love to hear your feedback. What does this episode mean to you? What does it do for you? What are your thoughts here? Now, the irony is that I batch record my episodes, and so episodes that you have been hearing over the last bunch of weeks might have all been recorded in the span of a week or two. Ironically, recent episodes more and more have been tending to talk about Bitachon, so if you've been listening to recent episodes, you might feel like, I'm not sure why she's saying that we don't talk about Hashem on the podcast, but that's because the first bunch of episodes definitely didn't, partly because they were episodes recorded mostly around very practical, tactical topics like scaling a business and different skills relating to that. And while, of course, there is no conversation without Hashem, we were focusing on the action side of things. And I'm sure that it had a lot to do with my perspective, which I want to share with you. I want to share with you why it's finally time, why I outlined this episode on a Google Doc. I then ran into a snag, which was that I had so many incredible guests lined up that I never had the opportunity to record this episode for you once I got all my thoughts on paper and committed to sharing it, because I just kept having guest episodes that I wanted to share with you that are so insightful, so incredible, and I just felt like I'm never having my turn in the spotlight because I have so many amazing guests that come on. I knew that right before Pesach is such a perfect time for this episode. I don't know if you're in the headspace to hear about how to scale your business, but I do know that this month, this journey, this time of year, this Yontif, is rooted so deeply in bitachon, like everything in our lives, but so, so deeply in bitachon, that it was time, that it had to be aired now. And I'm excited. I'm so excited to share with you. And I want to share, like I said, why, what it finally took for me to do this, to outline the episode on a Google Doc, to commit to airing it, even though it then took a lot of time for it to be aired. And I'm sure you've been hearing about it on the podcast, but this idea has been simmering. It's been brewing, like I said, and now it bubbled to the surface. At a certain point, time had done its job, and I just decided I'm going to make the move. I'm going to dive in. I'm going to stop waiting to be ready, to be fully prepared. I'm going to stop waiting to feel like I am qualified, and I'm just going to do it. And lastly, it's because I recently took a much deeper dive into bitachon work, as I'm sure you've heard on the podcast, and it sounds more repetitive than it is because the way the episodes are dripped out, but I'm excited to share with you in this more intimate one-to-one conversation, me to you, my personal journey and story. So it's time. Let's do this. I'm going to start by sharing why I originally wasn't talking much about bitachon at the beginning of the podcast. First of all, like I said, some of the episodes just were very tactical and we dove straight into the strategy and the action. But the two reasons were that I was apprehensive. I was scared of misconceptions. I was worried about misrepresenting. I felt like if I share a productivity tip that you misinterpret, or that you misapply, or that just isn't a good tip to begin with, worst case scenario, I wasted some of your time, which I really, really would not like to do, but that's something I could live with. But if I give over an idea, a bitachon, something so crucial to who we are, and it's misinterpreted, or it's miscommunicated, or it's not received in the way that I meant for it to be, that fear was really holding me back. I just didn't feel qualified, and I also felt afraid to talk about this on such a public forum, to put my voice out there on such a topic. I also felt like, and this was reason number two, if we start, where do we stop? If this is a bitachon podcast, then how do we ever talk about anything else? Because bitachon is the beginning, the middle, and the end. And I really wanted to focus on the action and the strategy because I didn't set out to create a bitachon podcast. So I wasn't sure how to beautifully weave it in. And I'm so grateful that in the last bunch of episodes that I've been recording and airing, I've just been guided by Hashem to have bitachon come up again and again and again and again. And I think it's been beautifully woven into the episodes. And you know what? If I become known as a bitachon podcast, I'm not sure that's such a terrible thing. But those were the two reasons that I was kind of holding back. And I don't think those reasons are good enough to keep us from talking about bitachon, and that's why I'm talking about it now. That said, I still feel like I need to make this disclaimer. Talk to your Rav. Do your own learning. Reach out even to me so we can hash things out. It's not very comfortable for me to have this conversation when there's no back and forth, when I'm just putting this out there publicly to a somewhat faceless audience. For those of you that I do know that respond to every email, that give me feedback on every episode, I so appreciate you. It's you that I'm picturing and envisioning now in my office, and I'm talking to you. But I do still have that discomfort about just putting this out there, and it feels absolutely crucial, so I'm going to do it, and I would love to hear from you. I want to share with you now a bit of what Bitachon means to me and to share my personal journey as it has evolved a lot recently. Specifically, I'm going to talk about Bitachon and the way it relates to my business. I was blessed to grow up from in a home steeped in Bitachon, to attend schools and classes all about Bitachon, to have Bitachon as a foundation of my life, Bitachon as a given. And I started with this general believe, trust, nothing else matters, nothing else exists, nothing else has an impact, it's all Hashem, it's all Hashem, it's all Hashem, and I knew this. I knew this with absolute clarity. My relationship with Hashem is, of course, something that has always been evolving and growing and changing, and it's been a very real, living experience. It's been a very real, living thing in my life, all of my life. But specifically in relationship to business, a significant shift first occurred when I started working with my amazing coach, Faye Doretsky. You can hear her on episode 10, an incredible episode. Definitely suggest listening if you haven't. The shift was around Hishtadlus. And she really framed it for me in a way that felt like a beautiful way for me to relate to this Bitachon knowledge that I had all my life. She framed our job to do Hishtadlus as our job to become a Kli. And I just want to, again, insert a caveat that I'm sharing what my takeaways from working with her are and how I have taken what she has so beautifully conveyed to me and how I've integrated it and what it means to me. Nothing that I'm saying here is a direct quote. Everything Faye teaches is rooted in Torah. Everything she teaches is sourced and has been discussed with a Rav. So if you want to take issue with anything I'm saying, reach out to me, not Faye. Although she is an amazing person to talk to about this topic as well. Our job is to become a Kli. And that reinforced my Bitachon, because if my whole Hishtadlus is centered around the trust that Hashem is infinite, loving, giving, and kind, then all limitations are on my end, not His end, then Hishtadlus becomes Bitachon work, and the lines started to blur. For me, that was so beautiful. Of course, all of our lives were juggling and we're holding this need to do Hishtadlus, and the knowledge and the trust that we have that it's all Hashem. And it could be so difficult to hold both of those when they seem so many times to be in contradiction with each other. And this for me was a beautiful way to bring it together. My Hishtadlus is to become a Kli to Hashem's infinite, infinite blessing. So it was such an aligned way to take action. When I was doing Hishtadlus or taking action, it was so much easier to remember that the work that I was doing had no impact on the Shefa that Hashem had or bestowed on me, because that never changed. My Hishtadlus was only to become a Kli, not to create Shefa, not to bring Shefa to me, just to be open and accept it. For me, it was so beautiful when the Hishtadlus started to feel like Bitachon. When the Hishtadlus felt like an extension of my trust, when those lines started to blur. What it meant to me was that you can only receive as much as you can. A beautiful mashal that demonstrates this so perfectly, with one flaw, which I'll share, from my coach Faye, is imagine the ocean. You come to the ocean, and I mean, there's water for as far as your eye can see, and the depths of the ocean are beyond something you could fathom. There is what seems to be an infinite amount of water there, but you can only take as much water as your vessel can hold. So you could come to the ocean with a cup, and you'll leave with only a cup of water. If you come with a bowl, you'll fill up a bowl. If you come with a bucket, you'll leave with a bucket. If you come with a barrel, you'll have a barrel. The flaw is that the ocean is not infinite, and Hashem is. But it brings home the idea so beautifully. The Shefa is there. The Shefa is there. I walk away with however much I can hold. However big my kli is, I am limited to the size of my kli. Hishtadlo stopped feeling like the hustle type of do more, pitch more, post more, push more, to trust more, visualize more, think more, give more, be more open, stay more true to my values. Because that's what makes you a bigger kli, and absolutely still take action. That's all part of becoming a kli, but it was coming from such a different place. I wasn't trying to generate income. I was just trying to be open to it. From a place of knowing how much Hashem has to give and just opening up, just opening the door for it, just opening my heart. I like to use visualizations to really picture how I interact with the world as an expression of bitachon. And I like to think of what we know that the word bracha is the same letters as the word brecha. And there is this pool in Shemayim, this pool of bracha that Hashem has for us. And we have this pipe connecting us to Shemayim. And I literally just picture myself at the bottom of that pipe. And the water is flowing. It is rushing from the pool into the pipe. And as soon as I open up, the water rushes and flows into me, through me. And I envision the work that I'm doing, the morning routines, the reaching out, the developing connections, the staying in gratitude, the visualizations. I envision them opening me up to this flow of bracha. I'm sharing here just a glimpse of the approach as it relates to this episode, and there are so many more tools. How do we take action from that place? How do we get to that place where we feel abundant and grateful and trusting? There's so much to explore here. How do we stay in that place? What to do when we fall out of that place? How do we set higher standards for ourselves? And a lot of these are topics we explore in LifeWorks Empowered. If you'd love to join us, the link is in the show notes where you could learn more about my membership. Again, this is just a glimpse. I'm sharing with you just a peek into my journey. Then I was introduced sort of as a next step in my bitachon journey to an absolutely gorgeous book, which I'll link in the show notes, called The Art of Tefillah by Rabbi Shlomo David, based on what he learned from his Rebbe, Rev Daniel Glanz. And it elaborates on all these tools and really builds on this same approach, and it provides all the Torah sources, and it was so incredible to learn, to work through this book, to learn this book. I want to recommend that you get this book, but I want you to know it is not a book you could read. It's not a book you even learn. It's a book you journey through. And the beautiful thing is every chapter ends with an exercise to help you do that. It's a completely transformational approach to the way we think about Hashem and Tefillah and Bitachon, because it's all interwoven. They're all one and the same. I want to share with you some additional thoughts from the book that just struck me, just a couple of things that I'm going to pull out to share with you, but there is so much here. I really, really recommend grabbing this book because it's just so beautiful and so game-changing. I'll first share just, again, a little excerpt where he talks about a question that a lot of us have, which is, why daven or why ask if Hashem is going to do what's best for me, right? Like, he knows what I need. He knows what I want. He knows what I'm lacking. If it's best, he'll give it to me. And if not, not. How does tefillah change things? And what we first want to understand is that the work of this world is really tefillah. We know that during Sheshes Yemei Bereishis, when on day 3, plants, trees, and vegetation were created, they did not yet sprout. The Pasuk says, because there was no man to work the land. But something here doesn't seem to make sense, because even when Adam was there to work the land, he didn't have a need to work the land. The ground didn't need to be worked until after the expulsion from Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, there was no need to work the land. We know that that's part of the curse, is v'zeyas apecha tocha lechem. So what does it mean that these things didn't sprout? Adam was there, we know. Adam was not there to daven. So the work of Gan Eden, our work, is tefillah. When Adam was expelled from Gan Eden, And when we were sent into this version of Olam Hazeh that we know, the work of speech did not die. It wasn't removed or replaced. It was just overshadowed by action. We're in an even more physical world, a lower level physical world. And so action seems to overshadow the work of speech, but it's still there. Its tefillah is still our work in this world. And to answer the question of why does davening help? Why does davening even exist? He explains that Hashem designed the world, that he turns a blind eye to anything that is not brought to his attention through the level of speech. Level of speech is a more spiritual action than physical action. So it's a higher level of connection to Hashem. It's a higher level. And Hashem seems to turn a blind eye. It's like he doesn't know what you need until you tell him. He makes as if he doesn't know what you need until you tell him. Why? So that we can develop a relationship with him. We need to tell him what we need. Not because we need it, but because we need to connect with him. We don't connect with Hashem in order to get the things we need. We need the things we need so that we will connect with him. This changes everything. This changes the way you approach tefillah. This changes the way you ask for what you ask for when you're asking for it so that you can connect with Hashem. When it almost becomes like, I don't need the parnasa as much as I need to talk to Hashem about the parnasa that I need, because I need to talk to him, because I need to develop that relationship with him in that way. It is life-changing. An incredibly powerful chapter in this book talks about the concept of ratzon, and it's a lot of things that have come up on the podcast over time. He puts it so beautifully, where he explains that ratzon represents the concept of cause and effect. And the way that Hashem set up the world is that our thoughts and attitudes are the causes, and our external experiences and conditions are the effects. Essentially what we call mindset work. When we say mindset is everything, it is absolutely everything. And now, of course, it takes pages and pages and digging through sources to get to the bottom of the Torah approach to this and how it practically applies to us. But it's absolutely a real reality that Hashem created, that our thoughts and our attitudes cause our experiences and conditions. I'll read to you just two sources from the book, but then order the book, find yourself a chafrusa, and journey through it. And then I'll go back to sharing with you more of my journey. I just have to share with you some of these most absolutely gorgeous, beautiful sources. The Maharal says in Nisivos Olam, V'ka'asher yomar al hadavar shenira ra, v'hu boteach bo yisparach shahu letova, az yitein Hashem yisparach oso ra letova. It is when something appears bad and he trusts in Hashem and says that it is actually good, then Hashem allows this bad to become good. Rabbi Nachman teaches that thought has great power. If a person concentrates and focuses his thoughts on anything in the world, he can make it happen. Even if he concentrates his thoughts on having money, he will certainly have it. And so it is with everything, provided the thought is with a negation of all the senses. And just one more. The Sefer Madrigas HaAdam spells out the same concept, where he's focusing on the lack of physical hishtadlus, that ratzon allows a person to engage in or not engage in. He says, one who believes and recognizes that there is something above the regular cause and effect that guides the world. In other words, one who lives with an understanding of reality, right, of knowledge of Hashem, will achieve his needs even through far-off causes, even through miraculous means. Through his belief in God, things come to him without physical effort. And it is in the hands of each and every person to trust and rely on Hashem to take care of his needs and relax with absolute peace of mind, and anything that he is lacking will come to him on its own. Now, of course, we know that applying this on a practical level is a lot more complex and a lot more delicate than it seems to be at first glance, right? And it takes a lot of work to get to a place where you grow your capacity to do less as you trust more. But I think that learning this Torah and learning this approach to life is crucial to, again, growing your capacity to trust more. Growing your trust. We don't have to be perfect today, but we have to be growing today. And what this tells us is that our job, our hishtadlus, is to become a kli. Our job is to become the person who can accept and hold Hashem's shefa. Because the shefa is there, and the action doesn't make it come. It's our ability to accept and hold it. So those were some steps I took on my Bitachon journey. The next sort of stage, if I have to organize it like that, was making Hashem so real and so absolute. This is where it all sort of came together. The work that I did with my coach, the years and years that I've spent living and investing in this work, learning this book, my podcast episode with Esther Kurtz, and my personal experiences where I really committed to taking it to the next level. I started to examine my thoughts and actions through a lens of bitachon and noted that there was tremendous gaps and mismatch. And that's when I started to say, this isn't a business that I'm running, it's a bitachon bootcamp. I'm going to figure out how to make Hashem absolutely real and absolutely absolute. I remember one day when I was having like a really hard time with a couple of things in my business, and I just thought like, forget it. I'm going to get a job. Things are going to be steady. I'll have a boss that's committed to paying my paycheck, so income will be guaranteed. And then I was like, hold on a minute. That's a lack of bitachon. Now, sometimes there is a responsible action that a responsible person must take. Sometimes that might be getting a job. But if it's with the understanding that you're getting a job because Hashem asked of you to please interact with his world in a certain way within the framework of systems that he set up, then you know that with a job, your income is not any more guaranteed. It's just the responsible thing that you have to do because Hashem asked of you to interact with his world in a certain way, because he wants you to function within the framework of certain systems. But you don't get the job because it guarantees your income. Your income comes from the exact same source when you have a job, when you have a business, and when you have neither. It's always Hashem. I recommitted to Esther's podcast, to learning Shaar Bitachon. I started relearning this book, The Art of Tefillah, and I just started to notice, to examine the times that my thoughts and actions didn't align with what I knew to be true in Bitachon, and I would notice that. I would just notice it gently. Oh, that doesn't seem aligned. What would be aligned? And I would make space for this new thought to fill in where that old thought was. The new thought that knows that a job doesn't guarantee bitachon, a boss is no more reliable than a business. Because it's all Hashem anyway. He's equally reliable in every situation. Again, you got to take responsible action. You have to function in his world the way that he asked us to. But he's never, ever more or less reliable. Ever. And so I started to use visualizations to help as well. I would sit and picture when I would get off a sales call with a coaching client who wanted my $2,000 one-to-one coaching package. I sat down and I envisioned the pipeline from Hashem to me, no client involved, $2,000 landing in my lap, and I'm holding the $2,000 in my hand and I watched the client evaporate. She disappeared, but the money did not, because the money was never dependent on her. That was one visualization. Another visualization is to do the exact opposite, to envision $2,000 coming, the $2,000 disappearing, and the client is still here because she doesn't provide the money. Hashem does. Only Hashem, and always Hashem. Wow. This was really, really different. This was nothing like I've ever done before on the podcast. Definitely have never quoted sources from inside. I don't think I've ever shared something so personal, like just came on here to share my story. But I think that this is important, and I hope that it benefits you, and I hope that it at least encourages you to buy this book or to recommit to learning Chovos Halvavos Shaar Bitachon, whether it's through Esther Kurtz's podcast or together with Ya'al Trush, who has Bitachon classes. I don't know if her episode is going to be airing by the time before this one does. I already recorded it with her, so sneak peek what's to come. Whether it's just making a commitment to re-examine your thoughts, to take one action towards becoming a greater kli for Hashem's Shefa. I hope that this episode can do that for you. And I would love to hear your feedback. And I would love to share with you next bitachon in relation to my favorite topic. That is time. It's something that I've also been exploring really deeply for the last while. And like everything, I've come to realize that in time, in our experience with time, bitachon is everything, just like it is in every area of our lives. Think about it this way. In a world of absolute perfect bitachon, you cannot be overwhelmed or stressed. Now, of course, we don't live in a world of perfect bitachon, and we can't live in a world of perfect bitachon because we live in this world. We live in this world where there is a level of obscurity. But again, we can be journeying and growing. And one of the most powerful tools to help you change your experience with time is bitachon. And I don't want this to be an ouch moment. Like, I'm not calling you out on your lack of bitachon. You are trying so hard. And you are. You are trying so hard. You are growing so tremendously. You are doing so well. If you're learning, if you're trying, if you're growing, perfection today is never the goal. Just growing, trying, journeying is. But applying the bitachon that you have, that I know that you have in your head, in your heart, in your hands, to situations where you feel overwhelmed or stressed around the time that you have or don't have, can be so calming. If you know that you are exactly where you are meant to be, that you are being led by the creator of the universe, who also happens to be your loving, loving father, if you know that what will be, and what will be is best, what is best, suddenly you can feel so much calmer. I recently was in Misrat HaPnim, where I had to get a visa for my baby. However, due to a lack of appointments, they didn't schedule an appointment for me. They asked me to just come. Now, note that if they're telling you just come because we don't have an appointment for you, they don't have the capacity to issue the visa. They didn't have the staff there who had the time to issue visas. So they just were like, come and wait and kind of sit on this blue plastic chair until something happens. And time was ticking, ticking, ticking. And it was a work morning and I had plenty to do and I would have loved to be at my desk accomplishing. And I had moments where I felt really stressed, really tight, really tense. Like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be sitting here. Why is that? You know, why are they never calling the next number? Why is there no progress? Why has no one been called? Why are there no workers here? Why does a government organization operate this way? Why can't I just get my visa? I really want my visa. I really should be working. I have so much to do. I should be making my list. I should be checking things off. I felt plenty of moments of tension and I was able to take a deep breath and know that there is nowhere in the world more perfect, more beautifully perfect for me to be than on that blue plastic chair. I belonged there. I had to be there. I wasn't supposed to be at my desk. It wouldn't have been better for me at my desk. I had to be on that blue plastic chair waiting for a visa. And I was calm. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I'm accomplishing exactly what I'm supposed to be accomplishing. What is best. It is never easy. In moments of tension or stress, to feel completely and perfectly calm. But remembering this could be so game-changing, and bitachon has, like everything, impacted my journey through changing my time experience in an incredible, incredible way. As a matter of fact, I recently finalized my 6-part framework to changing your time experience, which is a really holistic way to look at the way that you experience time and change it. We talk about time management, and time management is really difficult because time management means I'm trying to manage my time effectively, which I think what we are essentially doing is taking our to-do list and trying to fit it into our 24 hours as best as we possibly can. But there are so many pieces missing when we start with time management. We're working on a rocky time foundation, and we could be It can be really, really stressful because our to-do lists likely won't fit beautifully into those 24 hours. They just won't. They just won't. We are busy Jewish women. We are going to have a to-do list longer than 24 hours. I can pretty much guarantee it. So what do you do now other than get really stressed out? So that's why I developed this 6-part framework, which weaves together concepts like abundance of time with concepts like there are only 24 hours on the clock, because the theory of relativity and the fact that time doesn't really exist at all isn't actually helpful or practical when it comes to getting everything done. So I had to create this 360 approach because I had to figure out how to make it work for me in a way that felt good and still was really practical. And of course, one of the crucial 6 parts of the framework is bitachon. It's always going to come down to this, and it's always going to make everything easier and more comfortable when you can trust that what is best. That it's not up to you, that you're in the best hands. And I'm going to wrap up this episode by just leaving you with one last thought. And again, I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear your thoughts. I would love to hear what it was like to have this little bit of a different style episode. I hope I'm going to air this. I'm recording it now. I hope I'm going to have the bravery to air it, because it does feel brave for me to share this. I'm going to leave you with one last thought. I like to remind myself that if I knew how much Hashem loved me, nothing in the world could touch me. If I knew how much Hashem loved me, nothing could upset me. Nothing could get me down. Nothing could scare me. Nothing could make me feel like I'm behind, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not taking the right actions, or I'm not in the right place, or I'm not making progress fast enough. Nothing. The catch is that I can't know. I can't know fully and completely how much he loves me, because that is the nature of this world. But knowing that love exists, knowing that there is a reality that I cannot fathom, I cannot touch, I cannot fully experience in this world, but it is the reality and it is the truth, that Hashem's love for me is so great and so strong and so perfect, that if I knew what it felt like, nothing would be able to touch me. That's comforting for me in tough times, and I hope that it can be for you too. So I'll leave you on that note, just a reminder that Hashem's love for you is beyond what you could fathom, beyond what you could feel as a physical being, and it exists. It exists and it is there. He loves you. Thanks for listening. I want to wish you a beautiful Pesach. I wish you a beautiful Yontif full of joy and inner peace, and lovely connections with yourself, with family, with friends. And I'm excited to regroup after Yontif to hang out again on the podcast, in your inbox. Make sure you're signed up for emails so that you don't miss what's to come. And I really look forward to hearing from you, hearing your feedback, hearing how your Yontif goes, hearing what this podcast episode meant to you. Stay in touch. Thanks for hanging out with me today. As always, head to lifeworkspodcast.com, because that's where the party's at. Drop a comment, #ILifeWorked, on this episode to let our community know that you took the challenge and encourage others to do the same. If you want to hear more about what I do for mompreneurs and how we can work together, reach out, Hannah@lifeworkspodcast.com. Wishing you a day of work and life that work to bring you tremendous fulfillment and joy. Till next time, I'll see you here. And again, thanks for being a part of our incredible community.